So I'm, thank you very much for the opportunity to share our experience with you about the wilderness camp at Fry Creek. I've been had the opportunity to talk to a couple of people here who have been there, John Hagen, Francie Luann, my wife Susie, Nancy, Deb Henry. And I was wondering if there's any others that have been to the Wilderness Fry Creek as well over the years. Anybody else? Yeah? Wonderful. Oh, there's some people there that you can talk to afterwards and share their experience about it. Our family was inspired to visit the Wilderness Camp at Fry Creek after watching a video following a service at the Unitarian Church in Vancouver back in the year 2000. Remember those little TVs with the little VCRs that were cassette players were built in the bottom? It was a tiny little screen, but it opened up a whole new world for us. It seemed to be and turned out to be a wonderful place to visit with our then young family. Our children at the time were 6, 5, and 3 years old. One of them has been to camp every year since then, the others have only missed 1 year apiece. They are all now at ages 25, 23, and 22, bringing their partners. It's just a wonderful place. The camp itself, wilderness as most of us have come to call it, is located on the eastern shores of Kootenai Lake, about 18 kilometers from its northern end. There's about 160 acres of forest and 2 miles of beachfront, much of it sand. It's absolutely stunning. 4 Unitarians bought the property in 1965 for $35,000. And you can see how the Fry Creek comes down. There's this beautiful delta there. Philip Hewitt, you may know from the Unitarian Church of Vancouver, and Robert Foljam, who apparently learned about real estate acquisition in kindergarten in addition to sharing and playing fair. And another individual, Tom Wolfe, I'm not 100% sure, but they had a wonderful vision of a place where Unitarians and all people could revere the wilderness, that revere wilderness could go. They, among others, formed the Northwest Wilderness Society of the Unitarian Church, which in 1966 opened the camp. The camps open in July and August, and it's administered by a volunteer board of directors. My wife, Susie, at one time was on the board. We apply Unitarian values in running the camp and welcome everyone who loves wilderness. Now, as camp director, I arrange for boat transport, I collect the fees, help campers as needs arise. We're very fortunate the land, which is situated on this beautiful sand and forest delta of Fry Creek, is surrounded by the east by a huge tract of untouched land called the Purcell Wilderness Conservancy. And it's some fantastic hiking trails that lead up and over magnificent mountains. Also, way back in the 70s, many Unitarians, including Philip Hewitt, worked with local residents and other environmental groups to prevent the BC Forest Service and a local sawmill from logging the watershed. So the Fry Creek watershed remains the only valley around Kootenai Lake, which is huge, that has never been logged. The creek descends through old growth forests and rushes through a spectacular canyon down to the lake. Now, to get more information, recently Keith Wiley, who lives in Nelson, serves on the board, created a wonderful website called KootenaiWildernessCamping.org that thoroughly describes the camp and offers much useful advice to prospective campers. We put some brochures out at the back at the, so you can get those as well. Now, it's best described as remote car camping. You end up carrying all of your supplies from your car onto the beach to the boat, and then from the boat to your campsite. So you have to be discerning in what you choose to bring. You'll be living in a tent with a tarp structure, rain or shine, alone or with family and friends, for the duration of your stay. Now, if wilderness is your thing, you'll be enchanted. But let me warn you, if you're a person who doesn't appreciate the majesty of high mountain peaks, a huge silence that enables one to hear faint rolling thunder 20 miles away, or the rush of the waterfall in the distance, then you won't like wilderness. If you can endure a very slow pace of existence where time is measured by hunger or sleepiness, or if you don't crave that wonderful sleep that comes from breathing in fresh mountain air and a pleasant fatigue that you don't understand, then you won't enjoy wilderness. But if what I've just described doesn't move your spirit, then this place is probably not for you. You'll be disappointed because really, there's nothing else there. It's only accessible by boat, as I mentioned. The current pickup spot is Schroeder Creek, It's about 15 kilometers north of Caslo on the west side of Kootenai Lake. Caslo is about 9 hours drive from Vancouver, Seattle, and about 4 hours from Spokane. It's north of Nelson along Kootenai Lake. When you arrive at Shorter Creek Resort, you contact the camp director or the on-duty boat driver by using a walkie-talkie, and you wait for him or her to cross the lake to get you. You could wait as little as 25 minutes, or as much as a few hours, depending on the wind and wave conditions of the lake. We'll let you know. There's camping at Shorter Creek Resort, so if you arrive late and you need to stay overnight, well, you've got all your things with you, so it's not that big of a deal. And don't let the boat access scare you. It's really all part of the wilderness experience. Some of the same people have been coming back for five decades. Now, you may wonder why people drive so far to bob up and down in a boat just to go camping. After all, there's many nice campgrounds that are much more accessible. That's true, but it isn't just the camping, it's the total experience of being there. And what wilderness can show you and teach you. While you're waiting for the boat, take the opportunity to look around, breathe in the mountain air, listen to the waves. Begin to enjoy what wilderness has to offer. The day is warm and sunny, which it usually is. You can't help but marvel at the beauty of the lake and the mountains. Some new people make a pledge there and then that they'll return, they'll come back. They haven't even been to the camp yet. Now, the campsites are well spread out. There's a boat bringing a family in. The campsites are well spread out, have a funky mixture of shells and tables of found materials, all built by volunteers. And this is a chance for you to let out your inner camper child. They're private as well. Once established, it's up to you to spend the time as you wish to spend there. There's no scheduled programs, no activities. You make your own fun. There's the beach, the lake, the forest, the mountains. You can have a lazy day of reading by the beach or spending a mindful or even mindless few hours making precarious rock sculptures. The more precarious, the better. Or losing yet another game of cribbage to your clever wife. Or you can get ambitions and go for a long hike into the mountains along various trails, or paddle one of the canoes. We have canoes there for people to use. Up and down the lake, ideally having the wind behind you at both ways. Here there is beauty in all its forms. There are sunsets reflecting a magnificent myriad of colors on a marble smooth lake. Carpets of green forest reaching up to the magnificent rocky peaks, an ever-changing sky that extends forever, and cloud buildups that make the mountains look small by comparison. One can also have terrific wind and rainstorms that whip up the waves in the lake in 15 minutes and make you grateful for the tarp that you so carefully placed over your eating area. The staccato of rain on the tarp or on your tent fly make a relentless rhythm that would impress Paul Simon and Ladysmith Black Mombasa. It's also a fun game to grab a stick and push the puddles of rain that build up in your tarpaulin so it doesn't bring the tarp down without having a whoosh of water roll down the stick and down your arm and whatnot. Eventually the wind dies down, the clouds dissipate, the sun returns, and sometimes only after an hour or two of intense wind and rain. Fortunately, we get a lot of beautiful sunsets and rarely see such windstorms. But these occasions can't help to give one an opportunity to pause and reflect. Nature is not in the least reticent about showing off any of her attributes. Wilderness allows you to see. At night, there is nothing to obscure the magnificent galactic cloud called the Milky Way, and a sky so full of stars that you gaze in wonderment. With binoculars, one can see the moons of Jupiter if conditions are right. Our own moon reveals its cratered surface in glorious detail and casts a light one can almost read. No, that's, there casts a light in a full moon you can read by that light. It's simply stunning. When you see all of this, you can't help but ponder abstract subjects like space, infinity, the universe, and how it all got there. Even if you could see the night sky in the same way at home, you might be too busy doing something else to notice. Wilderness allows you to listen, even if there's nothing to hear. Without being bombarded by modern telecommunications. We discourage people bringing radios to camp. You now have a chance to listen to your surroundings and yourself, and that can be startling. There is always the white noise of the rushing creek in the background, and sometimes the scolding of a raven or a squirrel, the scree of an osprey hanging in the wind, or the haunting cry of a loon as the sun is setting. These are the sounds that can stir your soul. And the wonderful thing is that these are not sounds that aggravate. They are in tune with you, totally unobjectable. Wilderness teaches you to be still. You have to be in order to see and hear the loon cry, the fish jump, the osprey diving into the lake, the bald eagles bathe, the mama merganser swimming by with her ducklings on her back, or the deer in the shadows carefully gauging your next move. Wilderness makes you feel part of her surroundings, part of your surroundings. When you walk through the forest, you can't help but feel that somehow you are connected with everything around you, that whatever you do, something is going to be affected by it, and that makes you careful to lessen your impact. You are very much in tune with the interdependent web of life of which we are all part. Wilderness teaches awareness and respect. Deltas are created by floods and sediment deposition, and they're very dynamic places. Until June 2013, there were two arms of Fry Creek, one to the north, one to the south. But on June 20th of that year, the same storm that flooded Calgary, do you remember when the Saddle Dome in downtown Calgary got flooded? It caused some big changes to our property. So it blocked the north arm. What happened was the rain started up in the mountains, caused a landslide, which created a natural dam. That dam blew, came down, all the debris blocked the north arm. It is now a dry creek bed. Washed some of the land, approximately 13 hectares, into the lake and created several enormous new sandy beaches. Now, it would take an even larger rain than in June 2013 to fill up the newly enlarged south arm of Fry Creek and concern our campers. We camp near the creek, so we're always aware of its flow in our daily activities. As camp director, I have a rain gauge, and there's a safety plan should any emergencies arise, though high flows are much less likely in July and August when camp is open. Although campers should be tuned to in all conditions around us, and that's why we spend time in nature. Wilderness teaches us patience. The high waters of the lake will subside and show the beach once more. The storm and waves will eventually abate. The sun will always come out again. And the camp boat will eventually come and get you. Wilderness opens your mind and heart to simplicity. It's amazing how little one can be satisfied with just the basics. You have to be resourceful, but there is simplicity in that because we only use the materials that are already there in the forest and washed up on the beach. Nice fish, huh? Bigger than mine. We are all equal at Wilderness. All you have to do is look around and see how people are dressed. There's no formality at camp. Everyone is living in tents and makeshift tarp shelters, and no one cares how they look as long as they're comfortable in their surroundings. You get all manner of attire that people wouldn't dream of wearing at home. You can't tell a hamburger chef from a surgeon or a minister from a bank manager. Yet they are all there for the same reason, to enjoy the limited time they have and not get caught up in the complexity of our social culture that they have to contend with at home. Wilderness is a safe place. During the height of the summer, it's not uncommon to see as many as 40 children at a camp, ranging in age from a few months old to teenagers. Lifelong friendships have begun at camp. Many adult campers came to Wilderness as children, and now with children of their own, have returned to renew fond memories and to pass along the Wilderness experience. Many people who go to Wilderness call it a spiritual experience. Why is that? We all have experiences which we would call spiritual in many different ways and situations. Well, first, what does spirituality mean? The dictionary defines spiritual as of the human spirit or soul pertaining to the mind or intellect, not physical or worldly. But it's more than just a mental exercise. In other words, if we're awed because we see something that is indescribably beautiful, or if we're calmed because of its serenity and peacefulness, Or if we witness an act that tugs at our heartstrings, it makes us feel that there is something spiritual happening. And therein lies the crux of the matter. In terms of spirituality, we have to feel something spiritual before we think about it. It's difficult to put these feelings into words. Words such as awesome, overwhelming, amazing, serene, peaceful, lighthearted, connected, and insignificant come to mind. At Wilderness, all you need to do is stand on the beach during a sunset and do a slow circle. What you see as you look across sand to the lake and the mountains and the sky and the sun and the clouds makes you feel all of these things at once. That sums up the spirituality many campers feel at Wilderness. But of course, each experience and sense of spirituality is unique, especially among Unitarians. Wise and spiritual people have said that the closer we are to our own spirituality, the closer we are to the spirituality of others. But getting close to your own spirituality is difficult because of the constant distractions in our daily lives. It's difficult to focus inwardly, to make a real effort to rigorously set aside time in our busy schedules. At Fry Creek, our day-to-day distractions are very much lessened, which allows each of us to heighten our awareness of our own spirituality. So it's not uncommon to see people meditating or having their own quiet time at any hour of the day. And what better time to do it than at sunset, when the lake is calm and the sun is setting and you have a beach all to yourself. Some have said that their sense of spirituality pertains to the experience of being inwardly and directly connected to something other, and typically larger than oneself. Others have said that it is a sense of deep inner peace and harmony that makes no reference to anything outside of the self. Well, Wilderness certainly fits into these descriptions. You can't help but feel connected to something larger, and you won't find a better place to attain a sense of inner peace. Many great friendships have been initiated and blossomed at Wilderness. In fact, one of the reasons many people keep returning is because of the people that they have met. The phrase, "there are no strangers here, only friends we haven't yet met," really seems to apply. And these friends come from all over the globe. We've had visitors from as far away as England, Hawaii, and Australia. Many campers have commented that Wilderness has allowed them to reflect inwardly and to be more at peace with themselves, to sleep a comfortable 9 to 10 hours every night, to have more perspective on their place in the scheme of things, to realize and accept just how insignificant they are, and as they sit at the outdoor table at breakfast and look at the expanse of lake and mountains and sky, to be reminded of just how very lucky they are to be there. Thank you.